TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 104, Thursday, 19th of April, 2007. Show with Orb Networks. I'm Ian Dixon. This week, Julie Jacobson from C Pro Magazine joins me on the show to talk about how the professional AV installers are taking to Windows Vista version of Media Center and what reservations the AV guys have. I have forum poster of the week, email into the show, and some Media Center news items. First to the email. Hi Ian, greetings from Minneapolis. First off, I absolutely love the show, keep up the great work. Here's my problem. I have my HD TV set up as an extended desktop and would like to have Media Center to run continuously on that display. The problem is that every time I start my computer, Media Center loads on my primary display, not the HD TV. When the computer is first switched on, the HD TV does not display anything until the computer is almost entirely finished loading. By that time, Media Center has already finished loading, and I'm guessing, since it doesn't detect the secondary monitor, loads in the primary one. My questions are these. First, is this a graphics card driver issue, a Vista issue, or a Media Center issue? Second, is there any way to accomplish what I want to do? I'm new to Media Center, however, and formerly used Beyond TV on Windows XP and never experienced this problem, so I think it will be possible with Vista as well. Thanks a million, Jason. P.S. I'm using a Radeon X1800 XL video card, if that matters. Thanks for the email, Jason. I'm not sure if there is a way to accomplish what you want to do, and I can see exactly why you want to do it. You want your PC to boot up Media Center on the second display in full screen mode, but I'm not aware of a way of doing that. And I know certainly it's something we've talked about in the show in the past, how the mouse gets the mouse focus gets stolen when you use Media Center in full screen, and then on the other window you go back and click something. I think that was to do with DirectX, so maybe it is to do with DirectX. I'd be interested to hear if anybody else has got that issue or found a workaround, but I'm certainly not aware of a way around that, and I think the official response is that you should use an extender device to connect to your TV, but as we all know, there's only the Xbox 360 available at the moment, and your solution sounds good if you could get it full screen. So any listeners got any good tips for that, I'll be interested to hear, and we can pass them on to Jason. So thanks very much for your email. I do like getting your email. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep them coming in. I do like reading them out. And if you've got any comments or thoughts on any of the emails that I've read out and want to reply, just send those in and I'll read those out on a future show. Now to some news items. An interesting one was posted up on the green button was, if you're interested in beta testing the next version of Media Center, then you can be considered for the next beta by going to Microsoft's Kinect site and completing the survey. I'll include a link to the survey in the show notes. I've worked on the betas of Media Center in the past, and it's great being able to sort of get in early and see all the features as they progress. It certainly was great from watching Media Center progress from its early beta in Vista right through to the great product it is now. So if you're interested in doing that, there's a survey. I think they're taking a fairly broad selection of candidates. Certainly not everybody will be picked, so just head over to the Kinect site, fill in the survey, and if you're lucky, you'll get picked. Gizmodo managed to get their hands on a Ricavision Sideshow remote. These are the remote controls with an LCD built into them that talks to your PC, say via Bluetooth, and really nice remotes because you can get additional data on there, like guide data, and you can queue up music and get email and all those kind of thing. And I'm hoping to see some more of these devices, but the ones that I saw at CES, and I'll include a link to the pictures that I took at CES, are really nice devices. and being able to browse the guide data from the remote without sort of putting anything on the screen, it's going to be a good way of working, because I know that my wife's watching something on TV and she doesn't want me putting guide data all over it while she's trying to watch a program, but I want to see what's coming on now and later, and you can use the Sideshow remotes to do that. In fact, while I was at CES, I did some videoing of the Sideshow remotes with Nivius's Tim Cutting, so I'll include a link for that in the show notes as well. But certainly, Gizmodo remote, certainly the review on Gizmodo looked quite good, and I'd really like to try one of those. Was something else announced this week was Microsoft Silverlight. It looks an interesting technology for integrating media experience with the web, much more rich and a better experience than just downloading files. And I think it's their sort of take on Flash. I think it was formerly known as WPF/E, Windows Presentation Foundation Anywhere, but now it's being called Silverlight. And I'd be interested to see how that can integrate with Media Center, whether it means we can get a more rich Media Center experience. Media Center Markup Language is a great application development language, but we'd certainly like to be able to interact with the media more than just sort of the play, pause. And perhaps with these technologies, we'll be able to use some of that. I mean, certainly from a podcaster, I'd be interested to see how I can enhance my content, say a video, include chapters and all those kind of things. So I'm hoping to see some of that when we get the, I think the beta is going to be out in a few weeks around the Mix 07 conference time, and I really want to see how that fits in with Media Center. I know that Casey Chesnut on his blog was saying he wants to be able to use that technology on the Xbox 360 via Media Center, so that it's another way of consuming that rich content. More details on that on Sean Alexander's blog, and there's actually a video of him on Channel 10. Again, links for those in the show notes. A couple of items from thedigitallifestyle.com. Stephen Hardy has started a series of posts taking a step-by-step view of developing applications for Windows Media Center. As I mentioned before, Media Center Markup Language is a great way of developing Media Center applications. You get that rich experience, but it's not easy getting started, and Stephen has posted a step-by-step through, from creating your own buttons to linking up with C# code, and the whole blog is a fantastic resource for Media Center developers, so I really do encourage you to check that out. And I'm going to start a new project soon, and I'll be definitely using Stephen's guide to help me on the way, so it's a great resource, that, and link for that in the show notes. Richard Miller has posted how to store recorded TV on Windows Home Server and then retrieve that back through Media Center, and now you can actually record your TV directly from Media Center onto Windows Home Server. Out of the box, where it stores the music and shares the music and software and other features, it doesn't work with Media Center for recorded TV, and I think that's partly down to how Media Center security works. So he's posted a nice step-by-step guide on how to enable that. There's some settings done on the home server and there's some settings done on the Windows Media Center PC, and I've tested it out. I gave Richard a little help on setting up the batch files, and it works really nicely now. So I've got Media Center content stored on my Media Center PC and on my Windows home server, and I can see them through Media Center on my PC and on my Xbox 360, and as far as I'm concerned, they could be, you know, they're all the same location. So I've been using it to sort of archive off old shows, so that I've got all the new shows and stuff on my main Media Center PC, and old sci-fi episodes and things like that thrown over to Windows home server. But there is actually nothing to stop you going totally Windows home server. But nice if we could wrap this up into a single program, and I keep meaning to try and have a look at doing that. But Richard's guide is great, and you'll follow the instructions on the forums. Link for them in the show notes. Talking of the forums, I have a forum poster of the week, and that goes to Ian Stewart on the forums. And Ian gets a copy of MC Phone and Pamela, the digital assistant for Skype, so well done to Ian. Again, another copy being given away next week, so all you need to do is post on the forums and you could be drawn at random. The address is digitallifestyle.com/forums. Last week I announced the competition to win a copy of Vista Beyond the Manual by Tony Campbell. I'm going to keep that competition open for another week. And if you want to read that book, it's a really good book. I did promise a review, but I've still working my way through it. There's a lot of stuff in there that that's really handy if you're a power user. And so I want to do it justice and do a proper review of it. So Tony set a question, and that was, what new zone has been introduced in Internet Explorer 7 for controlling access to web material sourced from your own computer or removable media? So all you need to do is send in your answer to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and one of the correct winners will be drawn out, and you'll get a copy of Tony's book. I promise to try and review the book properly and give it the time it deserves on a future show. Don't forget to have a look at the digitallifestyle.com video show. I have some videos up there demonstrating Vista. I've got tours from CES, and I've got a look at and the last video that I did was a look at the different media applications running on a UMPC. As I mentioned on the show before, I got a Samsung Q1 Ultramobile PC, and I tested Origami Experience, which is the software designed specifically for the UMPC by Microsoft. I tested Windows Media Center itself, which worked really well, I'm pleased to say. And I tested Orbs 10-foot interface to see how that would work on the small form factor. And really pleased to say all of them work really well, and I'm really loving the UMPC device. Again, I'm recording this right now on the UMPC. It's great just to throw in your bag, and you've got all your kit that you need to record podcasts on. So I've been impressed with that. So check out that video and check out the other videos. And if you've got any suggestions on anything that you think I should cover on the show, please send those in to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Right, now time for a break, and I'll be back with Julie Jacobson.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Julie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It seems quite a long while since we chatted last time.
Oh, no, it has been a long time, and very much has changed, actually, since the last time we talked.
We're going to talk today around, we should also go into your background as well, but for a recap, in case anybody didn't hear that show, but we're going to be talking today about how system integrators are using Media Center, and particularly since we've changed onto Windows Vista. But before we do dive into that, could you just give us a recap for anybody that missed the last time you're on, of sort of who you are and what is CE Pro?
Sure. My name's Julie Jacobson, and I'm a co-founder of VH Publishing, which is about 13 years old. And our main trade magazine is called CE Pro, which is for custom electronics professionals, and those are the folks that come into your home and install home theaters and home automation systems. And there's, CE Pro has a circulation of 50,000, so there's a lot of companies out there that are actually doing this, with or without Media Center.
You've got the website as well and the blog. One thing that I wanted to ask you is, how you found that the take-up of the blog has been from non-system integrators. I'm thinking people like myself who are enthusiasts but still like to read the blog and, find it a great source of information.
Well, I'm getting more and more questions about Media Center from people from professional integrators that have really spurned it in the past. And, there's a lot of reasons that that's happening, not just because we're getting exposure or they like my writing any better. But it's, Vista is finally here, and whether or not they like it, it's making this whole PC phenomenon, Media Center PC phenomenon, that much more visible. Cable card is here. One big deal in our industry is really for the first time we have one of the biggest brands in home, whole house audio and home entertainment, Rust Sound, coming out with a Media Center PC, which I don't know if you realize how significant that is, but it's a pretty big deal. They are among the most popular media server manufacturers, at least here in the United States, and they're the first of the big name brands to come out with a Media Center product.
So since we last talked, then Vista's launched, and how are you seeing the integrators how are they perceiving the launch of Windows Vista, and how they see Media Center compared to the XP days?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I surveyed many of our readers and got lots and lots of responses from them, and I asked them what they thought about Vista and how they planned to implement it both in their offices as well as in their customers' homes, and virtually none of them said they were eager to implement it in their own office, in their own businesses, but most of them were willing to jump into Media Center installations in their customers' homes. So while they're nervous about migrating to the platform and all the, you know, the software hassles that entails in their businesses, I think they're feeling pretty confident about it from the Media Center perspective.
That's probably the fact that when you're doing an installation, a Media Center installation, perhaps for someone that's never had it before, that you're not going to worry about upgrades and compatibility and whatever. You're just getting a new machine that you know is configured, you know works, and you can put it in and sort of and leave it running. Rather, a machine in the office, you've got to worry about your accounting software running it and those kind of issues.
Absolutely, the Media Center is pretty much a clean slate. In the work environment, it's, you know, something altogether different. You know, in fact, that's actually becoming a big issue because a lot of the programming software for home automation is in limbo, and while the manufacturers are figuring out their plans for going to Vista, and I'll give you another example. One of the big manufacturers of remote controls, Universal Remote Controls, is actually the name of the company, relies on ActiveSync, an XP application, to sync up the remote controls with the programming. And that's all different in Vista. And it's going to be interesting to see how the manufacturers in our industry make that migration.
Right, so yeah, and that was a late... or the latest change, wasn't it, in the Vista rollout? Because I think the mobile sync center that's out since Vista's launched, you know, wasn't even included in the beta. So I guess it must be, if you're relying on the active sync functionality, it's something that you could only start working on fairly late in the process.
Yeah, it is, but it's also an exciting development. For example, one of the vendors of software for designing and bidding home control systems called BidMagic AV is just rolling out here at the Electronic House Expo a brand new software system that works on Vista and really exploits the mobile capabilities of of the new platform.
And I suppose these developers being able to make use of things like the Media Center Markup Language and to build sort of much more integrated and professional looking applications for Media Center.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, things look better, things work better, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be a painful transition.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big steep learning curve for the Media Center Markup Language as well.
It is, but, you know, as you mentioned, putting a Media Center into someone's home, it's a clean slate. There's a limited number of applications. You don't have to migrate. You know, the only thing you have to migrate, potentially, is content, and that's a fairly painless task. So it is a clean slate, and integrators are finally getting excited about it. At least they're not opposed to it with the vehemence that they have been in the past, which is, you know, that's progress.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody that didn't listen to the show we talked last time, what are the sort of the blocking issues that the integrators have had in the past about deploying Media Center?
Well, you know, even though a lot of the problems have been solved somewhat, they still remain. HD was a huge concern among professional integrators who were installing HD systems in virtually all their customers' homes. Now, in the past, of course, you could get over-the-air high definition, but not cable or satellite. With Vista now, there's cable card capabilities, but That's not a simple rollout. It's not widely available, and there's definitely some limitations with what you can do with that content. You know, for example, you can only stream it to media center extenders. You can't stream it to other media center computers on the network. So that's, you know, it's getting better, but it's still an issue. Lack of media center extenders was a problem then, and it still is now, although, you know, the kits are out there. Virtually no one has even announced they're going to be making media center extenders, and that's problematic to me as well as a lot of the integrators.
That was going to be my next question, actually, the media center extenders. When I went to CES, I was expecting to see with the Vista announcements some media center extenders, and apart from the Xbox 360, there weren't any, and there was sort of rumors of ones in other rooms, but you know, I never actually physically got to see one.
I was stunned. Not only did we not see one, but I heard one company even announce that they were planning to make one, and we did not hear, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't hear Linksys or Belkin or D-Link or any of the usual players even say that they intended to make media center extenders, and that was a bit troubling. You know, Monster Cable reluctantly came out and said they were going to implement some kind of media center extender, but they weren't. That's not something they were screaming and shouting about.
No, I'm surprised at that. And how much of an impact does that make to the integrators that there isn't the dedicated devices for extenders?
Well, it's a real problem. They very much want to see media center being extended throughout the house, and particularly to devices that aren't TVs. You know, you just don't want to turn on the TV every time you want to play a playlist. And to have media center extenders built into in-wall touchpads, for example, would be a really big deal. But even just to have some options, you know, that the Xbox 360 is a big, bulky machine. It's simply not suited for a lot of locations in the house. And to be able to have that capability in a slim DVD player, for example, or in the TV itself would go a long way, I think, in raising the popularity of Media Center.
Yeah, I'm really surprised about that. I keep thinking that I'm sure there's some big announcements coming soon, but I'm not quite sure when it'll be, whether it'll be the WinHEC or whether it's going to be a later trade show. I don't know, but I have a feeling that they're coming, but they just never seem to arrive.
Well, I think there might be some kind of Microsoft rule out there that maybe some of these companies simply aren't allowed to talk to their about media center extender developments, because I would have to think that Linksys and the others and the TV manufacturers and the other CE manufacturers have every intention of implementing this.
Yeah, because extended technology built directly into a TV would be great. It would just be another box you could get rid of, really.
Absolutely, and even just touch screens and other interfaces. I mean, lack of interfaces we discussed last time. You know, again, it was largely the TV, and that was it. And that's, you know, there's a lot of promise with the new Sideshow technology. There were probably 13 items at CES. I think I listed them all on my website somewhere. That were implementing Sideshow and universal remotes, and Ellickson had even a PC bag that had a Sideshow device in there. But they're still not really out, and we still don't have a lot of options for interfaces. There's, you know, some companies are using the Ultramobile PC as an interface, but that's, you know, that's still a $1,000 proposition. You know, the Sideshow devices will give you, you know, interfaces maybe as low as $200 to $250, but you know, Sideshow has its limitations. You know, right now, virtually all the products are Bluetooth. It's not compatible with touch screens. You know, so we still have some ways to go in the interface department.
Yeah, and do you think that these are technologies that could be provided by third parties, or are you really looking at sort of Microsoft to come up with the at least the user interface components, and then the third parties can build on top of that?
Well, Microsoft has done a really nice job in getting pretty close with Sideshow, with opening up Media Center Extender, And with, for example, touchscreen capability on Vista, which we didn't see in XP. And some vendors are rising to the occasion. A company called Promixis, for example, has developed some nice software that will really give you access to most of the Media Center functionality on a PDA or any product with a web browser. Intuset and Nivius both have some software solutions that'll do something similar, but it's just not enough.
Yeah, it needs to be more, and I suppose cost effective, isn't it, for the integrator to be able to deploy multiple, you know, touch panels. It's got to be, like you said, you don't want to go for a whole PC price every time you put a touch panel in.
Right, cost effectiveness as well as just convenience. You know, right, still the most convenient thing right now is going to the TV and going through all the menus. You know, one of the other great things that Microsoft did, though, to really help in the interface department is they've opened up their software and provided some really great tools that will allow developers to jump right to certain applications within Media Center. Previously, you really had to go through all the menus. For example, if you had a home automation plugin, you know, main menu, my home, you know, living room, living room sconce. You know, you had to go through a bunch of menus. And right now, it's easy to get there now with just the press of a single button. And that's really thanks to some of the new Microsoft tools.
Yeah, the user interface is definitely more intuitive. And how are the integrators taking to the new interface? Are they pleased with the progress that's made, or is there still some, you know, people that prefer the XP style interface?
You know, I have not asked that question, and I don't think there are enough integrators out there that have had exposure to both interfaces. I'm personally not a fan of the new interface, but everyone who likes it says you get used to it, and once you get used to it, you really learn to love it, and certainly it opens up a lot more flexibility and usability. You just have to get used to it. What do you think of it?
Well, I really like it. Certainly, going for a widescreen display, you know, the left and right navigation makes a lot more sense. And but like you said, you know, you can add in the additional applications we've added in. So if you've got your own TV type application, you can add that to the TV strip, as opposed to before everything kind of got dumped in more programs. So it does give you that ability to be able to add shortcuts around Media Center.
Right, and that's big.
Yeah. And just touch on the Sideshow remotes then. When do you think we're going to start to see those sort of available to purchase? Because we've seen the mock-ups, and we've even seen the models in use at CES, but I haven't actually seen when any of them are going to be for sale.
I don't know. I think I heard mention of one of the products, maybe one of the remote controls shipping, but I haven't heard much buzz around that. But I certainly hope it's soon. You know, like I said, the products are awfully inexpensive. They'll get down to the $200 price range.
And I think I've seen some of the examples where the Sideshow's just built into the remote, and being able to browse the guide data from remote is a nice feature.
It's very nice, and as more and more companies add gadgets to their own applications, then the Sideshow will be able to do a lot more. In fact, I've seen a couple of home automation software providers that are starting to write gadgets, so you can access those applications from the Sideshow remote through pretty simple navigational tools. But again, Sideshow is not compatible with touchscreen, does not support touchscreens, so that's a bit of a weakness, but still, it's nice.
Yeah, and do you think that, you mentioned about the Russound audio solution, you said that's significant, so how significant is that for the industry? Is it a sign then that the PC architecture is being taken seriously for high quality home audio?
It is, less so for high quality home audio. I mean, certainly Vista Vista is doing some great things with audio. That's one of the sleeper applications that people don't really recognize. It now offers room EQ, for example, and calibration and all sorts of things that you would see in a high-end AV receiver. But you know what RustSound really brings to the table is a name that's widely recognized and widely embraced within the home systems community. If RustSound's making it, then it must be okay for my installations. I mean, really, so it's kind of a psychological step. It's still, whole house audio through Media Center is still problematic. RustSound is doing a few things to ease that transition. For example, they're building their RNET protocol into their Media Center, so you'll be able to interact with its whole house audio system pretty seamlessly, which is a big deal. The first time we were able to see that was when RustSound teamed up with its Exceptional Innovation, which put some special applications into its LifeWare automation system to enable two-way interaction between RustSound's keypads and the Media Center computer. And you know, it's amazing what a challenging task that has been in the past, and still is, really. The way anyone's doing it right now really is through the LifeWare software, which I'm sure they're happy about.
yeah, I'm sure they are. But there isn't, I suppose, an out-of-the-box interface for controlling all this kind of stuff, because you've got to get your hands dirty in some of the programming languages to be able to develop this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's stuff that has to go on inside the PC. You can't just slap a distributed audio system into your house and expect it to interact two-way with, you know, this type of media server. You know, you have about a half a dozen really popular whole house audio brands out there, Niles, Speakercraft, Elon, to name a few. And, you know, you can't just take their products and seamlessly integrate them into a media center without, like you said, getting your hands dirty.
And you mentioned about cable card, and I suppose people are just starting to get that now. You mentioned that it was also, you know, it wasn't that simple and straightforward getting it installed. So are the integrators starting to install cable card solutions now?
I don't think so.
And is that because the complexity, or is that because the equipment's not available yet?
Both. I don't think the equipment is really there. I mean, one of the main implementers, the early implementers of cable card is Niveus, which makes high-end, very stable media centers, and they're still kind of struggling to get it right and to get it deployed. Most of the software is there, but it's still not seamless. So, but at least that's the fact that we know for sure it's going to happen really removes one of the stumbling blocks that's been problematic in the professional integration market. I think they feel more confident about installing a media center, knowing that cable card, you know, will get there. But I think they don't know, and I think they don't understand that you're not just going to be able to buy an external cable card box and plug it into any media center. It's just not going to be that simple.
And how much the cable companies helping or hindering the process, if, you know, for people that are trying to get a hold of the cable card stuff?
Well, it's been troubling ever since cable card was introduced. And, you know, the Consumer Electronics Association blames the cable companies. The cable companies blame, you know, the CE. And it has not been a simple rollout. In fact, professional installers do everything they can to avoid cable card and avoid, you know, having that bond, you know, that important bond between the, you know, with the cable company. So it hasn't been a pretty thing, and I don't think, let's just say this is not going to be any easier than it has been with cable card deployment and traditional CE devices.
Right, so media centers kind of on par with the other CE devices in that respect.
Yeah, exactly. And it will be one of those things that integrators will live with, but begrudgingly. I mean, surely there's a better solution out there. And actually, there is a better solution. I'm a pretty big believer that IPTV could make this whole problem go away. That's in the next few years. A lot of our high-definition content, a lot of our movies are going to be from the Internet.
Yeah. And provided through the internet through sort of services like Vongo, or are you thinking more like dedicated IPTV type boxes and things like Xbox 360 are going to get that support at some point?
All of them. I think there's going to be so many options, whether it's going through a PC or a dedicated box, whether the cable company provides it itself, whether you're going through the Microsoft Xbox,
So talking about HD content, we definitely talked about HD DVD and Blu-ray, and how's that changed? That market changed since I suppose it's almost 12 months now. Have we moved forward to an outright winner, or is the situation still the same as it was then, where it's pretty open?
Well, there's no winner yet, and I don't believe anyone thinks there's anyone close to winning. I've reported in the past about the porn industry embracing HD DVD, and pretty much the last holdout that was going to go with Blu-ray went with HD DVD, and they've been pretty influential in the past, so we'll see where that takes us. But interestingly, we are on the eve of the Media Center boot camp at EHX, and in preparation for that, I emailed the attendees and asked them what they would like to learn from the boot camp. And here in order is what they said. Number one, cable card tied with whole house audio, then media center extenders, and then integrating with home automation devices, then comparing Vista with MCE, then media center plugins, and then issues about stability and optimizing the network. Not a single one mentioned anything about Blu-ray or HD DVD, which I didn't find so troubling, but one of the presenters from Microsoft did, because he reminded us that it's not necessarily that simple, and you can't just because a PC has an HD DVD player on it doesn't mean you can just play it. You still have to download codecs, and it's not as he was bothered that perhaps professional integrators don't quite understand that. So we will be covering that issue in the boot camp.
So it wasn't the fact that it was a lack of interest in the topic. It was the fact that integrators kind of assume it's a PC, you'll be able to play that, and that's fine.
I think they just take it for granted, sure.
Right, yeah. That's interesting. I mean, in fact, one of the things that we got on the show recently is a talk just on codecs, because it's a bit of a mystery involved with DVD decoders, although it was in the XP days, and now I think the Blu-ray and HD is just going to also include that mystery as well. So, like you said, it's not just as simple as putting the drive in there. But it's interesting to see that people don't see that as being an issue, and they do see things like stability as being an issue.
Yeah, and clearly cable card is an issue for them, and they understand that will be complex, and it probably will be more complex than high-definition DVDs. But I don't know that they understand that there are any challenges with the high definition DVD formats.
Yeah, but the point on there though, you're saying that really there is still no clear winner, and it's just at the moment it's just there's two competing formats, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, Blu-ray declared itself a winner at CES, so it must be.
But
so.
I was surprised. I didn't actually. I didn't get that impression either, though, from when I was at CES.
There's no clear winner. They obviously each think that they're the winner.
Yeah, and I suppose, going back to what you mentioned about IPTV, they're both in danger of becoming almost obsolete before they win, or the whole format war could become sort of obsolete before it's decided.
Absolutely, and the HD DVD and Blu-ray camps, I think, are only expediting their demise.
Yeah, although I suppose people talked about that, but some people do like to possess the box with the disc in and the packaging, so I guess that there'll always be a market for that. But I suppose over time, that may fade away.
Well, I think there's some merit to that argument. It's nice to have a little shelf of your DVD boxes.
Yeah, yeah. So people like collecting things.
I own about four, so.
Well, I mean, some people own about four formats of each film, never mind.
Yeah, you know, this whole thing about watching a movie more than once is just kind of foreign to me.
Yes, I know exactly. There are a few that I can watch over again, but a lot I can't.
Sound of Music.
No, I wasn't thinking that one. But, yeah. you had an interesting list there. So just go through the list again of the issues that you canvassed for the boot camp.
Well, the top two were tied with Cable Card and Whole House Audio. I think manufacturers and perhaps Microsoft itself does not perceive the Whole House Audio issue to be such an issue, and maybe it isn't. It certainly is for the professional integration community, you know, of which 80% are installing some sort of Whole House Audio system. And there's still the problem of, even if you logistically can do it through Media Center, which really you can't, but if you could do it over IP, there's still a problem with synchronization that Microsoft has not solved. I assume they will, but with TCP/IP, there's going to be some lags over the network, and if they're off, you know, if two speakers are off by, you know, milliseconds, it can be unnerving. So those were the top two issues, and then Media Center Extender came up as number three. People were curious about what you can do with them, what the limitations are. A lot of people are wondering, you know, what's the difference between having a Media Center Extender as an extender or using a PC as another Media Center as an extender. And there are definitely some pros and cons to both sides of it. And home automation is a big one, and certainly because that's the focus of this audience. But there are still not a whole lot of companies in our industry that are making it easy to integrate Media Center with home automation. Certainly companies have emerged to focus on this, and I mentioned Exceptional Innovation. That's certainly the one that's most visible, but other companies like Cortexa and Superna and, you know, companies that we haven't really heard of are emerging as well. Now, one really nice thing that has happened on the home automation front is a couple companies have really stepped up to the plate. Autonomic is one that I'm pretty fond of, and they make some nice software that allows you to control your Media Center two-way, you know, with macros, with excellent interaction between home automation and media through some of the popular home control systems, including AMX, Crestron, and at the lower end, HAI. And it's really pretty much a big deal. So from a Crestron touch panel, for example, you can, you know, just press the goodnight macro, and it will, you know, turn off your Media Center, dim the lights, etc., or the I'm Home. You can program. We did an example in our CE Pro magazine of an integrator who used autonomic software with an AMX control system, and how he configured it is from the touch screen is a list of names of people in the household. So I would press Julie, and then all my settings would come up. So my playlist would come up. You know, control of my bedroom lights would come up. You know, my favorite radio stations. So, you know, my favorites covering both Media Center capabilities as well as home control capabilities. So those are the types of things that Autonomic has enabled. And in fact, Intisett, which manufactures high-end Media Centers, has come up with a similar application if you buy their boxes. So there's definitely some progress there.
The home automation stuff on Media Center I really like. I saw Embedded Automations M-Control running on Vista at CES, and you know the security element of that looks like to me that that's a big area for growth for the integrators.
Right, and I should have mentioned them too. They emerged, you know, specifically to work with Media Center Edition, so that's another nice one. Now, another wonderful thing that Microsoft has done to help in the integration area is a service called MSAS, which is Media State Aggregation Service. What that means is you can read the state of a media center computer and have other applications respond to it. So, for example, if I pause the DVD player and it's after sunset, then my lights will turn on in the home theater at 50%. And that's a nice thing to have.
Yeah, and that's sort of intelligence that that takes it beyond sort of home automation, because of course part of the main thing with the home automation, it always looks impressive that you can turn the lights on and off with your remote, but I can do that with the switch as well that's behind me. So
right.
This kind of intelligence actually does make it a benefit.
Right. In the past it was, you really just could not have rich integration between media center and automation systems. The MSAS service, from what I understand, was available in Vista, but was not easy to implement.
Yeah, I've played around with that as well. I mean, that can supply information just as simple as sort of LCD displays on the front of your
right.
media center PC, and like you said, can trigger events and everything else. Sounds really
that's
good.
That's why it was. I believe that's why it was developed in the first place. But the whole home control application is certainly benefiting from it.
Yeah, I've never actually sort of thought of it being used, but it does seem a good idea to make this sort of intelligent thing as well. And on the home automation, I mentioned about the security. Is that something that the integrators are looking at as well, the whole sort of home security stuff with PCs?
Yeah, they are. The companies that are focused on Media Center, you mentioned Cortexa, or you mentioned embedded automation and Lightware,
yeah,
and all the others have, there's two elements of security. There's surveillance cameras and there's security systems. So they all have drivers for the most popular home security systems, so you can operate your security system through Media Center. And they also have accommodations for showing for your cameras, your surveillance cameras, particularly your IP cameras. But there's still one of the applications I really haven't seen is a trigger. Yeah, maybe it's out. I mean, now with MSAS you can do it, but a trigger if the doorbell rings that the camera automatically comes up on a PIP on the TV. But are you familiar with what Best Buy is doing with their installations?
Yeah, we heard something about that. Of course, there's no Best Buy here in the UK, but I've heard it. That they're doing home automation installations now, which is something new.
Well, they have been doing that, but what they're doing now that's interesting is they've put together a $15,000 kit, which includes a HP Media Center PC, a version of Lifeware software, some light switches, and a couple of wireless IP cameras. So, even though the applications are fairly limited in this package, we see that the camera, the surveillance, is quite a crucial part of that. So it's actually, Media Center does not enable it more than any other PC or home control system than ever before, but it perhaps is bringing more attention, to that capability.
I suppose the fact that there's a PC being installed in the home by the integrators mean that they can offer previously they may not have had a PC, they would just have dedicated sort of CE devices, so having the PC there means that they can incorporate that and just taking the PC features.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those killer applications that shows well.
Yeah. I just, something I always think of setting up, but sort of never get around to, is getting a sort of wireless IP camera and putting it somewhere, and at least then I could, remotely see what's going on with the broadband technologies now. That it's so easy to get access to things like that it's something that's not really expensive.
It is, and in that same vein, with broadband technology and with all the new applications that really allow remote access to PCs, it's providing some great opportunities for integrators to service their customers and get some recurring revenue from those services. It's so easy to go in and troubleshoot a system remotely, or to offer maintenance contracts where you automatically you know, go in and at one time find all of your customers' PCs and, you know, upload the latest patches or the latest updates or some interesting plugins. And, you know, for $20 a month over a few hundred customers, that could be a very nice opportunity.
I mean, another technology I wonder whether the integrators are looking at is Windows Home Server, which it's not available yet, but it was mentioned at CES, and I got a feeling that this may be another product that would sort of complement you to Media Center for the integrator.
It is. One of the things I am confused about, though, is since you can't share high-def cable card across the network, except through Xboxes, I don't believe you can offload it onto a NAS device. So I assume that you could not offload your cable card content to the home server, but that's a good question, and I'm going to ask it at our Media Center Bootcamp.
Yes.
But one of the vendors has, you know, pointed that out to me, so, you know, I believe him. So he says we're going to have larger and larger internal hard drives on the PC devices themselves.
Well, I know that in Beta 2 there isn't really certainly a quick way to get all your recorded TV moved onto the home server and then consume that with the Media Center. I've got that working with the help of some other MVPs, but it certainly isn't a simple process out of the box. It certainly works for music, videos and pictures, you know, and shared data, but the TV stuff is kept separate to that. I mean, even though this is, you know, we're talking free over-the-air type TV, it's just there isn't a TV shared folder, for example, where there is a video, there is a pictures and a music one. But, you know, it does work. I've got it set up running and sharing the content, but I'm not talking, you know, high protected content here. I'm just, you know, over-air recorded TV.
So I guess it would have been nice if they could have built a server that somehow complemented Media Center and made that.
So I was going to say, I guess the DRM always crops its head up, doesn't it, when we start talking about TV and moving files around and between PCs.
Yeah, and you know, that's a pretty big deal, not being able to share DVDs across a network. I mean, I've got an old legacy system and I can do that, and I use it all the time. We discussed this last time, and you know, it's ripping DVDs is they've actually introduced here a new act called the Fair Use Act of 2007, which would allow some, you know, more sharing of content across a home network, but would still disallow ripping DVDs, which, as we say, is a real bummer.
Yeah, and of course, especially as, you know, most people do it anyway, or certainly a lot of people are doing it anyway.
They're doing it anyway, so you may as well have it codified such that the content providers can make money off it.
Yeah, it does seem crazy, doesn't it, you buy a movie and you rely on this silver disc, you know, to moving it around the house when you've got all this, you know, high definition networks and, you know, Media Center computers and everything, and you're still reliant on a single disc that effectively you can't back up or copy or anything like that. It does seem a bit crazy.
Yeah, even with this proposed Fair Use Act, you still cannot back up your DVDs. You still cannot make a copy simply for backup. You can if you're a librarian and you need it for archival purposes, but you and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it does seem perhaps short-sighted, but this DRM sort of issue crops up all the time, doesn't it, and the people's rights and everything else. It's just such a thorny issue.
It does, and you know, and people blame Microsoft for it, and we can blame Microsoft for a lot of things, but we can't do it for that.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned about the boot camp. In case anybody didn't listen to the show when you talked about it last time, what is the Media Center Bootcamp?
The Media Center Bootcamp is one component of the Electronic House Expo. There's two Electronic House Expos per year. Right now we're in Orlando, Florida, and the expo itself starts on the 8th. This will be, I think, our fourth Media Center Bootcamp, and it takes place on the 7th. And it's for professional integrators. And we discussed that virtually everything we've discussed here today are some of the things that are discussed in the Media Center Bootcamp. And then there's some breakout sections. Actually, this year we invited attendees to bring floor plans of any projects they're working on, and we've got a whole host of experts that'll sit down with them and help them design a media center-based network. So we're doing some different things this year. Now, you know, when we did this for our first time about, let's see, four boot camps ago, we asked how many integrators in the room had experience with Media Center, and I think only about 10% raised their hand. You know, and the next boot camp went up to maybe, you know, 25%, and then, you know, by the boot camp we had in the fall, I think 80% of the people raised their hand. So either we're getting more Media Center savvy people in the room, or more likely more integrators are simply feeling the need to go out and, if not sell them, then at least learn how to use them.
Yeah, because I guess a lot of it's something that can't be ignored, isn't it? And they want to find out more information about it. So what kind of, you mentioned, well, you said about the topics that you cover, things that we discussed today. Do you find then that the integrators are coming from who aren't coming from a PC background are really struggling to get the whole idea of how a PC can fit in the environment, or is it kind of, like you said, accepted now that the PC does fit in the environment and it's just more a case of how you get the best out of the equipment?
No, I don't think it's accepted yet. I mean, there's two answers to that. Number one, more IT savvy people are coming into our industry, and certainly they feel better about Media Center computers than traditional CE installers. But I don't think, when I surveyed our readers, there were very few that expressed excitement about getting these things into people's homes, but all of them expressed interest or the need to. So while they're not embracing it wholeheartedly or across the board, they're certainly more amenable to it than ever before, and I think by next year we're going to actually see enthusiasm for it.
And just as the product matures and as Vista matures, then it's going to be that people are more, that the integrators are more enthusiastic about it.
As the product matures, as the product becomes more visible among consumers and they start asking for it, and quite frankly, if integrators can find a good recurring revenue stream based off this product, then that's gonna get them to install it.
And I suppose like you said earlier, there is more opportunities for that because of things like add-on services and maintenance and updates that you. A CE box perhaps wouldn't have all these options.
Right, and a lot of traditional integrators see that as a negative. Well, you got to do all these updates and upgrades, whereas a dedicated server, such as ones from, you know, RustSound, Elon, Escient, Request, you know, they're stable. You don't need to upgrade. But in the case of media centers, you know, the reason you have to upgrade is because it starts out unstable. I'll give you that. But there's constantly improvements and new opportunities and new applications. So you know, the same reason that updates are required to keep your computer clean is the same reason that, you know, there are such vast new opportunities with this platform.
And also, you said the boot camp is part of the Electronic House Expo. What is the purpose of that?
Well, thank you for asking. It's the purpose is to educate professional home systems installers on the products, the technologies, and the business opportunities in this market. So there's, I think we're expecting 10,000 people here at this show. And we get a mix of people that are starting new businesses, and a lot of those people come either from the IT community or electrical contracting community, and this is a good place for them to get started. And then we've got our share of established, successful home systems integrators that are looking for the latest technology and to meet up with their existing vendors and actually to learn more about Vista and Media Center. I mean, I think we'll see a lot of people coming to this particular show at this particular time to get their hands on Vista and the new Media Center.
Yeah, because I suppose it's one of those things that they'll want to see in use first before sort of diving into that, and I suppose there's an investment in learning about it, and so you really do want to, or they certainly want to, you know, learn about it before diving in and buying boxes and putting these things in, because I suppose there's nothing worse than trying to install something, you know, a media center without at least knowing what you're doing, because there are a few pitfalls and some fairly common ones that can be avoided.
Absolutely, and this significantly is the first industry trade show post-Vista. So this is really the first trade show where integrators can see real product and learn what it's all about.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I never thought of it like that. And so what kind of speakers do you have then?
Okay, well, everyone from... We have a fair amount of... curriculum just in the business part of running a home systems business, so that probably comprises at least a third of our educational curriculum. But then we have technology covered, every, you know, HDMI, for example, and we've got a home theater boot camp and a tech home basics boot camp, and we have, you know, we cover... a big thing we're doing this year is home healthcare technology. So, you know, mainstream stuff to new opportunity stuff. But any of the core technologies certainly are covered.
And if anybody wants to find out more information, where's the best place to go to find out about
Well,
this?
To find out about the Electronic House Expo, that's ehxweb.com. To find out more information about, you know, CE Pro and the custom installation industry, that's cepro.com. And we do still maintain a site at mediacenter-pro.com for more media-centric content. But if you start at cepro.com, you can pretty much branch out to wherever else you need to go.
Now, like I said before, it's a blog that I do like reading, because it's you know, I read a lot of enthusiast blogs, so it's nice to get the pro thoughts on there and see some of the innovation that's coming through from the CE Pro side.
I enjoy it myself. It's interesting to see what their issues and concerns are, and certainly what their success stories are.
And because there was a couple of some videos as well that was put up, and some podcasts as well.
Yes, we have a ceprotv.com. We've got a bunch of slideshows posted on ceprotv.com. In fact, we've got my retrofit from hell. There's a slideshow there that chronicles the installation in my house, which was not easy. So, you know, there's some fun stuff on there. There's a lot of serious stuff. There's technology information. There's business information. And there's some whimsical stuff as well.
Yeah. Well, it's always a good read. Well, many thanks for taking the time to come on the show today. I do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I invite all your listeners to drop me a line. Let me know what their concerns are, what their successes are, and just what they're doing. My email address is listed everywhere on cepro.com. So don't be a stranger and, you know, let us hear from you.
That'd be great, and I think we'll have to make sure we book something in for 6 months, 12 months, and we'll see how we've progressed again.
Great, Ian. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to Julie. That's it for this week's show. Don't forget the email, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Check out the videos, and I'll include a link for those in the show notes and the forums. Don't forget a chance to win a copy of Vista Beyond the Manual. Just send your answer in, and the question was, what new zone has been introduced in Internet Explorer 7 for controlling access to web material sourced from your own computer or removable media? I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. See you. Bye.
Thank you.